Often our biggest opportunities come after we face a great deal of adversity. We take those challenges, tragedies, and obstacles, and we work our tail off to turn them into some of our greatest strengths. My guest today is a powerhouse, a survivor of just an extremely tragic car accident in another country, and an absolute industry disruptor since then. After two near fatal accidents, this human has taken yoga and turned it into a sort of rehabilitation and injury prevention modality. She talks about the functional mobility and stability to prevent minor injuries. She talks about it being as a series of movements and postures that emulate the biomechanics of sport at the highest level, and her competitive nature is exactly where Joga, J-O-G-A, was born. It's a practice that has been revolutionary in helping high-performance professional athletes strengthen their mind and their bodies for optimal peak performance. Her story is not one you are going to want to miss, and so welcome to At the Podium. Hello again, and welcome to At the Podium with Manuel Mesco. I'm a financial advocate, a CEO, a father, husband, and massive sports fan. You know I'm obsessed with encouraging people to dream and attack their unique vision for their life so that they can inspire others to do the same. I built this podcast We have built this podcast to share some of the stories of the highest performers in my life and help convert some of these moments into lessons that help you get closer to your hopes and dreams. Today, my guest is Jana Webb. Jana is the CEO and founder of Joga, J-O-G-A World. She's an athlete, an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, a TEDx speaker, a published fitness enthusiast, writer, TV host, teacher, mother. This woman simply does it all. As a multi-talented industry disruptor, she's bridged the gap between sport and yoga by creating Joga, a unique blend of movements and breathing techniques that's been used to train over 3,000 professional athletes and counting. I loved hearing Jana talk about where it all began, her time in Japan, the modality that she's now created, the way she started in Canada and has broken into the NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, and so many other sports. I love how simple she keeps her lessons, how simply she helps me understand and helped our listeners understand today the difference between yoga and Joga. And I know that you're going to find a ton of value in today's discussion. So please enjoy my conversation with Jana Webb. Folks, I have an incredibly special human here today, and I'm super amped up about it because we're finally getting to the point where I think the conversations are interesting and exciting enough that people are willing to travel to come in.
That's to Detroit, Michigan.
And it's so special. You are going to absolutely love this story. Jana Webb, who is the CEO and founder of Joga World. And she didn't say this to me when we were thinking about, okay, introductions. But the more time I invested getting to know the story of her life, I now realize that she is one of the top performance speakers, I think, in this space, and by far one of the most influential coaches that I'm now seeing around high performance athletes and sports. And so it's just what a treat it is to have you come in.
Thank you. And I flew across the pond.
Yeah, the pond, right? Well, and just so you know, being from Chicago originally,
yeah,
and our mutual dear friend, Janelle Miller. Janelle Rivera. I mean, I think about the fact that I never even knew what across the pond meant. Like, I was like, what is that? And then I get to Michigan and I meet more and more Canadians and now I get it.
I only caught on to that last year when I
came. Oh, really?
Here. Yeah. So I didn't know either.
Okay.
I just thought it was the thing to say since I'm in Detroit.
Yeah. Well, I love it. And I'm so glad that you're able to make time and fit us into your busy schedule here today. I've had a number of folks, including my spouse, Samantha, who knew you were coming on. And they're like, man, I'm really excited for that episode to drop. Because I think, you know, 10 years ago, if people had asked, what is yoga? I think it still would have taken some significant time and effort to really learn. I think the advancement of technology, social media, and then just the incredible meteoric rise of your story around your business and just how high profile you are now. We were joking about everywhere you go, people are like, yoga? Right? They recognize you. It's so powerful. So I'm hoping you're okay with us beginning with you unpacking the story of how yoga started.
Yeah. And thank you for saying that. I think that, you know, people actually don't know my name to be Jana. They just call me Yoga, and that's completely fine. But I do have a name. It is Jana. And I do want to say right out of the gates that the name Yoga is not from yoga for Jana. Like, I'm not that. People think that's how it was named.
Really?
And it has nothing to do with my name. And I'll get into that story in a little bit. But so, I mean, I've been doing this almost for 17 years, so a hot second. I was an athlete growing up. A small, big story packaged up really small. I was told to do yoga. And I think as an athlete, when you're told to do something, you do it. And I was a typical athlete trying to do yoga, which meant I couldn't touch my toes. I hated it. The instructor was like, fly like a bird. I'm like, I'm not a bird. Like, what are we doing here? And as an athlete as well, I was competitive. So I went to the yoga class. I did all these different things that my body had no business doing. And I was going to do it better than the person beside me. And so I kept having the same result from going to yoga. I kept hurting myself because I was putting my body in positions that I had no business being in. But I kept going back because the breath work and the meditation piece of it was really interesting for me, because as an athlete, I was never taught those things. And so it became this love-hate relationship. And then I was like, why isn't there anything out there for athletes? Why isn't there anything for people like me who can't touch their toes, who are really inflexible, but like the idea of doing this work in terms of breathwork and meditation? So I ended up going to Japan and I studied over there for a year, and I brought this modality back to Canada, which is where I'm from. And I started to work in a clinic which encompassed like physical therapy and strength and conditioning and nutrition. Now they're very common, like a boutique kind of fitness center, which was owned by a professional athlete. And I started to work with him, and he was like, man, I wish I'd had this while I was, you know, playing football. And then the strength and conditioning coach for the Calgary Stampeders, which is the CFL, reached out to a yoga studio that I was working at the time. And they're like, do you have anyone that will come teach our guys yoga? And so the owner of the studio chose me, and I taught the guys, and they literally like walked out, and I was like, oh my God, what's going on here? It's like this. And then that's when that moment happened where I was like, this whole thing needs to change, because I was only teaching them what I had learned. And so I said to the strength and conditioning coach, I was like, listen, just give me another chance. Like, I'll work for free. And I started to then understand that everything about yoga had to change in terms of the postures. They had to be movements. The flexibility piece didn't make sense for like how athletes need to move in terms of fast twitch and power and explosiveness. The word chakra, or like if you say to an athlete, like, find your third eye, they're like looking around the room for an eyeball. So everything had to change, from the postures to the language to that whole essence of like candles burn. Like, it was just too esoteric for how athletes interpret information. And so that's where it was seated. It was in Calgary, and I started to work with a quarterback, and he came, we probably did it two or three times a week, and he won MVP. We won a championship. And he's like, you gotta change the name of this. Like, it can't be yoga. It's not Jana's yoga.
Yeah.
And we were brainstorming. One of the strength and conditioning coaches I was talking with as well, he was brainstorming. He's like, what about yoga? Like, yoga for jocks. Like, as a dude, I feel really good saying, hey, buddy, I'm going to go do yoga. And then from that day moving forward, it was just like, hey, guys, let's go do yoga. And that's where it all started. Yeah.
And one, I love that story. Probably one of, I don't know, there's probably a lot of people, but I do watch Canadian football. I love the BC Lions. Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of the BC Lions. Okay. I keep trying to get the owner of the BC Lions on the podcast because I love BC Lions football. And here I am in the US.
Yeah.
A diehard Chicago Bears fan and Detroit Lions supporter. So, but you've worked with a number of teams, not just in Canada now. I mean, it's spread to the US.
Yes.
So you're heavily concentrated in the NBA now. Yeah. I mean, you've worked with roommates of mine from college. Yeah. I'm like, how strange that you would bring up Javar's name today.
Right.
And so shout out to my boy, Jabu.
Yes.
Tell me, when do you think it really was like the turning point and that moment of like just explosive trajectory that we're like, well, hasn't it been around forever?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that, was it?
No. And I know exactly the moment. And it actually goes back to Detroit, believe it or not. Kenny, he was the GM of the Detroit Red Wings at the time. Anyways, I came down here to do the Detroit Red Wings training camp.
Ken Holland.
Yeah. Yes.
And gosh. He's one of the first people I met when I moved here six years ago. Yes. At a dinner. And he had all the presence in the world. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So he
great GM.
Yeah. So he brought me down for the Red Wings training camp. And at the same time, I was hosting a certification up in Canada. And I had mentored another coach to actually facilitate my certification. And so here I was, because my business, like the program is the program. And I always designed it in a way for it to be scalable and duplicatable so other people could coach it the exact same way that it's supposed to be coached, how it's designed, because it's actually a system of movement and human system. We'll get into the whole what yoga is.
Yes.
But in that moment, I was like, here I am at Detroit Red Wings training camp, and I've got one of my coaches facilitating a certification in Toronto that I'm not even at, and the business is happening on its own while I'm over here. And it was in that moment, I'm like, this is going to work. This is going to
really
work. Yeah. Yeah. Because I could see then me coaching other people to coach more athletes to deliver the product. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, first of all, you were on one of my dear friends, and I look at him as a mentor and influence in my life, Ben Newman. You were on his podcast.
Yes.
And that's when I first heard your story. It wasn't even through Janelle, which is interesting enough. He hosted you on this podcast, and I heard you talk about the relationship with going back to Japan and coming back to create this. Mm-hmm. I listened to you reference it as prehab.
Mm.
And, you know, it's the first, even having grown up playing sports through college, I had never heard of that term, prehab.
Yeah.
So before you go into exactly what yoga is, would you maybe share with our listeners a little bit more around that comment that you've made on a few different shows and interviews? And what is prehab?
Yeah, so I look at it as preparing the body, right, for all the adversity that's about to happen. And with athletes specifically, it's all the wear and tear and obviously all the energy that they have to, you know, use. And in terms of like the science, it's actually like preparing your joint, your kinetic chain in the most efficient and durable way so it can sustain injury or at least prevent injury. And so in football specifically, we talk about like, or in basketball as well, these small strains and like small tears that keep athletes out for like 2 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Those are all preventative, right? If you actually get functional mobility and stability within your kinetic chain. And so that's when I'm talking about prehab, we're talking about preventing injuries like that could be, you know, prevented if you do the right training in your training protocol. Mm-hmm. But I tried to sell prehab, another meeting across the pond, Detroit Lions. I drove across. This was so long ago. This was before Detroit Red Wings. I got an opportunity to actually, this is how everything comes full circle. I got an opportunity to pitch the Detroit Lions, and the strength and conditioning guy at the time, I'm sure he's not even there anymore, was like, you'll never sell prehab. Never. The assistant strength and conditioning.
We gotta look up who that was.
Yeah, I'm not saying any names. The assistant strength and conditioning coach at that time was Ted Rath, who is now the head of performance for the Eagles, and a couple years ago got the award for the best strength and conditioning coach in the NFL. He remembered me, and he's like, "Hey," like he was an advocate. He brought me into the Rams. Like he got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so it ended up working out for me, but I had to get through that, you know. He's like, you're never going to sell prehab. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about prehabs, not those big impact injuries. Like if you get an impact injury in sport, they happen. Like, that's the risk of playing sport. But these small things that take athletes out, those are the things we're talking about.
Well, and in sports like the, and I know that you're, you know, across a dozen sports today, but, you know, speaking specifically to the two sports I understand the most, which is football and basketball. Yes. I mean, seasons and championships are won and lost on the aggregate of minor injuries, right? Absolutely. I mean, how often? I mean, it's rare that we're like, oh, that guy's out for the season, right? I mean, the Aaron Rodgers injury is a rare injury to one of the most impactful players that the Jets could have had this year. But it, I, a lot of teams are struggling, you know, with 500 records just because they've had 17 different players on and off the injured reserve list with minor injuries. So that really resonates. Who in the organization, when you're thinking about sharing your vision, your story, and your value proposition to the organization, who's the person within these teams that you need to have that one-on-one discussion with today?
Yeah, you know, and it I would say that I've had the discussions with everybody, and to get my entry point into sport, I had to do that. I had to talk to every single person just to get an opportunity, because at the end of the day, my goal was always just to get to the athlete, because I know if I can, like, besides the PT, besides the head trainer, besides the strength and conditioning coaches, they're all, you know, well, what I've learned is quite territorial about their job.
You think? You think? Oh my gosh. I'll give you a dozen names that are all territorial.
Yes. And so I've had to, like, tippy toe around all of these people just to get to the person who I'm most passionate about helping, which is the athlete. So to answer your question, it's got to be the athlete, because I know if I get an athlete for 20 minutes, they're done. They will buy into my program forever. And in, for example, Kevon Looney, I started to work with him. He was injured, and Golden State Warriors reached out. I was in his rehab process. He has not missed a game. We're three seasons. He's played 82 games the first season I worked with him, 82 games last season. We're in our third season. He's not missed one game.
And his performance is off the charts compared to...
And then he brought Moses Moody in, and Moses called me. I was on the ski hill, and he's like, hey, I heard about what Loon's doing. I'd like to learn more about the yoga. And now he has played every game and also is not injured. And so it's all about, in sport, it's about availability. And so I would love to say that I could sell this to teams, and I've even done spreadsheets where I go man games lost, and I present it like, hey, president of whichever team, here's how much money, right, that you left on the table with soft tissue injuries last year. I'm saying, even if my program prevented 1%, 0.5% of these injuries, so I've tried to create these business cases, and it's still door closed, door closed, door closed. So I've tried the president route, I've tried the GM route, I've tried all these different routes, and literally it has to be with the athlete, and then the athlete becomes an advocate, then they have the conversations with all those people that have been roadblocks for me.
Well, and the athlete's the client.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because, how many times have we seen, especially in professional sports today,
teams
make unilateral decisions, one-dimensional decisions, because one of the top players demanded it.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, okay, that's how it works.
I will say, though, that now that I'm in the space, and people like Javar have been very helpful. Yes. Like, so there are...
Yeah, Jobu's not territorial. That is the one thing I'll tell you, knowing him 25 years.
No.
I mean, my brother is one of the most abundant and inclusive humans I've ever met.
Yes, and opened up like huge opportunity for me with some star athletes like James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And his thing was like, no, this is way better than yoga. My athletes should not be doing yoga. He understood the science of what I'm doing.
Yes.
And was like, no, my athletes need to work with you. Yeah. And because he actually cares about the athlete performance. Yeah.
Well, he just wants to be around winners.
Yes.
And we talk about that a lot, especially when he and I are together. It's like, it's not just about me winning. Like, I just want to be around winning people.
Right.
And not people who just have talent, but people who are working to win.
Yes.
You know, and there's a dramatic difference between the two.
Yes.
You know, so I love that you have such a great relationship with people like Javar. Mm-hmm. So break down yoga. So I laughed, and Samantha, yes, I did tell Jana, and in Janelle's presence, because I'd get called out, that I have yet to go to yoga with you in Miami, but that you are encouraging me. And so break down the difference between yoga and yoga, because the idea that I wake up and I can't touch my toes, that really resonates with me. I
figured so.
She looked at me and she was like, but he can't touch his toes.
And like, nor should you have to ever. Like, why? No. But so I always, the easiest way, and if I'm pitching a team or I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, imagine a football game, right? You never see Roquan stop midfield and do tree posture, right? Like, an athlete is never, you know.
Yeah.
That just mid-game are you doing this? Yes. When are you doing this? Like in a seated posture, torquing your spine with your elbow, right? Like you're not getting any functional movement by doing those things, nor is it conducive to what they're actually doing in terms of performance. And so yoga is a series of movements and postures that emulate biomechanics of sport. And I just got a testimonial from Moses Moody yesterday, and he's like, when I do yoga, I feel like every position that I'm going to be faced with on the court, I've already activated because of the program. And so...
So state it one more time. It's a series of movements and postures that...
emulate biomechanics of sport. So the athletes feel... like they're playing basketball or playing football when they're doing yoga. I'm not putting it into postures that are completely foreign to their bodies.
That's right.
That make no sense for their neuromuscular patterns that they've been practicing since they're, like, my son's been playing hockey since he's 4 years old. And so he's doing all these moves, creating all these like neuromuscular patterns in his body to play hockey.
Yes.
So why at 18 years old would I say go to hot yoga and do dancer's pose and totally stretch all your muscles? Yeah. And you're in a hot room. It's completely dehydrating. So if we're calling this a recovery modality, you're going to go hot yoga. You're going to dehydrate yourself. You feel like Superman because it's hot. Mm-hmm. So us tight people stretch. So we've no business being in those postures. And so what happens is people will go do those types of yoga classes, especially athletes, and they'll say the next day on the court or on the ice, they feel flat. Like they don't have that pout, that speed and that power that they need to have. Because if you think about it, think about an elastic band, mm-hmm. like a thing that you girls hold their hair like this. Yeah, if you stretch it, like right now, this is pliability. If I keep doing this over time, that elastic band loses that pliability.
That's right.
And so stretching and flexibility is really not what we're going for with yoga, right? We're looking for functional mobility within time under tension. Like athletes are always in tension. Their foot's either on the ground, they're about to take a run, or they're about to catch a pass. And so how do we create functional mobility from a place of stability while maintaining time under tension? And so that's part of yoga. That's the physical part of yoga. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so one of Janelle's clients was like, I don't want to do yoga because it stretches me too much. And so I'm not saying yoga is bad. I'm just saying that there's no governing body of yoga and sport. And that's where yoga lives. We are establishing ourselves as the governing body of yoga and sport so that if a sports team, an athlete wants to introduce this modality, they would care that coach has the certification and or the training to understand athlete performance. And more than that, understand the culture and the ecosystem of sport. So I'm not just guessing when I come in and train a team.
Yeah.
I know exactly what's happened with performance. Like I know exactly what's happening with skills and drills. I know where they're at in their prehab, and everything is then conducive. We're the glue to everything else that's going on. It's not yoga that I'm just like guessing and a yoga class. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It absolutely does. And so I think if, you know, as I'm listening and I'm putting on sort of the mind of a listener, after we record today, I'm thinking about, okay, so I'm in high school, I'm in college, I have a huge vision for wanting to play sports at the highest level for as long as my body will allow. I'm thinking, Jana, what should I be doing today? I'm not in Canada, I can't afford you. What are the recommendations you're making to me at 13, 14, 15, 18, 19 years old of things I could be doing on my own until maybe I would have some access or exposure to yoga through private instruction?
Well, I have an app.
Thank you. No. Talk about that, please.
No, and I kind of forget that I have an app sometimes. I mean,
see? Look at that. Who said I don't have good questions?
And what's interesting is I actually, a lot of the athletes use the app because it's at their time and So yoga, the program is the program. Like movement is movement. So again, it's not like it has to be different all the time. We just have different levels of yoga. And then we have sports specific yoga programs on the app. And so this is what the athletes are buying into. And it's like $8 a month. So you get the same program that my NBA players are getting. It's coached by me. Yes. And you can do it whenever you want.
Even your Instagram account, and that account is what?
Yoga Jana.
Even the Instagram account has a ton of instructional videos.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you. I asked Holly if she would go do something, and I was, just kind of like, again, refreshing my mind, because an hour ago I was looking at a financial plan in a blue suit and white shirt, and I'm like looking, I did a...
You did it.
I got another downward dog. You were doing this instruction on the difference between a yoga downward dog and a yoga. And I'm like, even on your Instagram account, you provide a ton of instruction in there in your short videos.
Yeah.
So Instagram, you have the app. It's $100 a year. What a simple investment.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah. Okay, so did it make sense, though, when you practiced it? The difference?
I think we might do one before you notice
it. Okay, yeah, of course. Okay. I need you to feel the difference. Yeah.
But tell me how else, if people are looking for more information, more instruction. Let's say people are in the markets where you exist. Are there gyms or places of instruction where they can go? And go through a classroom yoga-like experience?
We're getting there. Before the pandemic, we had coaches all around, and we were everywhere. And then pandemic, of course, being in Canada, I had to close my studio. So we're after the pandemic, we started to learn that our business thrives online. So a lot of the times, we're training teams from our living rooms and from our kitchen still via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really affordable way for a team to hire a yoga coach, and they can, put it on your TV and be in their locker room, or even with Golden State Warriors, like I show up on their TV in their gym. No, I've only met.
Oh, it is virtual.
Yeah, I've only been there wonderful. Two times. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So we've these coaches that you can book online from anywhere.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and then the other part is the certification, which we've also just launched online. So we have a huge online presence, and again, because at the end of the day, our goal is to get to as many athletes as possible, and technology allows us to do that, and so. That's where we're at.
Can you share? I know a ton of people in the yoga or some type of overlaying space with yoga. Who are the ideal candidates for the certification and where can people go to learn more about that?
Yeah, so yogaworld.com is our website. And, we recruit, of course, yoga teachers, Pilates teachers with extensive anatomy background, I would say is a big part of it, because there's a lot of kinesiology in our course. Physical therapists, sports chiropractors, massage therapists, a lot of strength and conditioning coaches. Javar actually brought me into the Houston Rockets and got his whole staff certified. Not even that they were ever going to coach it, but he's so smart, because he's like, I need everybody on staff to understand what she's bringing to the table, so it's glue or it's cohesive to everybody else's work.
Yes.
And so that opportunity then introduced me to all these other ways and markets to sell the curriculum to. So a physical therapist will use this as a return to play strategy.
Okay.
Yeah. And same with like sports chiropractors. And then we've got, strength and conditioning coaches who are just looking for this type of movement modality to offer their clients. So pretty much anybody can do the certification. Yeah.
And who would you say, if you think of all of these great like partnerships and all these advocates that you have now for yoga, right? Who are a few that really come to mind right now where you're saying, man, I am really excited about the work I am doing with this person?
Well,
can you think of a few that you're open to sharing with
us? Yeah, of course. So for sure, Kavon.
Yes.
And Moses Moody.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And I'm allowed to say that. And I hope I'm allowed to say this, but Herb Jones from the New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay.
Look out for that one.
Yeah.
So I started to work with him last summer. We trained like 4-5 times a week, and he is now, he's an amazing talent already. The first time he did it, he told Daniel Bove, who's the head of performance for the Pelicans, he was like, I hate this. I'm never doing this again. I did like a team session as my job interview a year and a half ago. And then I show him footage of our very first session to where he is now. It's unbelievable. He started at Yoga Foundations, and he's at like a level 4 or 5.
And how many levels are there for our listeners?
Now I'm creating 6 because I have to, because I have these, Kavon Looney is like like moving, you know, everything's benchmark. And so these athletes need, as you know, you're an athlete. Everything you do is results based. So I have to keep giving them, you know, goals to achieve within the program.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the sport? So we've talked a lot about football and basketball, but I've seen some young men in lacrosse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of the testimonials. So you're across so many different sports. What are one or two of the sports that, as you look at the next 5 years of yoga, that you're saying, I really want to make a greater impact in these couple sports?
Yeah. So started in football, as you know, then went to hockey.
Yes.
Then went to baseball. I was in baseball for many years. Okay. So I was in MLB for 5 or 6 years, and then went into NBA, and then into basketball. I mean, this is crazy, but cricket, pickleball, like these are sports that are
pickleball
just
pickleball for sure.
Yeah, and one big one is and is football, like football. We have we have a player who heard about the New York Times article with the Kevon Looney, and he reached out to us. He plays overseas, and so when I was in London, UK, he flew in to do a session with me, and now he works with one of my coaches out of Chicago, like 5 days a week. And this player is, again, has not been injured. Like he has drank the Kool-Aid, and he also is unstoppable. So working with him and seeing how it's changed his game and his pace and his ability to cut and everything that he's doing on the turf makes me really inspired to get into soccer. And it's more global.
Yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then more excuses to go to Europe. Right?
That's a great
idea. I love the US, but I travel a lot in the US.
Yes, you do.
International.
I love it.
And rugby's a big one too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I love rugby. I love the culture of rugby. I love, again, how worldly that is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, you know, my goal is to launch in every, like, Australia, South Africa, the UK, probably within the next 2-3 years.
Is there, you know, you're making me think about it. Is there a difference between high physical impact human to human sports versus high impact sports like baseball, where you're not crashing into another body? Mm-hmm. Have you seen any type of difference? Do you have a different perspective on it? You know, when you talk about football, rugby, basketball, I'm like, man, that's high impact and that's collision.
Yes.
Right? Then we think about, like, you know, baseball, golf, you know, other things, and it's not as much. Is there a difference? And do you have some thoughts on that you'd share
with
our listeners?
Absolutely. And I didn't, and the reason I don't get excited to talk about this, but you know, I had that tragic car accident. And so I know firsthand I didn't get football until I had been in that, you know. And
do you want to share a little bit about that without losing your train of thought?
Yeah, we can.
Would that be okay?
Yeah, of course.
I've heard it a number of times, but I think, you know, even if people hear of your story for the first time through our show, I think that's an excellent foundation piece.
Yeah, and I think I'm in a better place to talk about it because it was seven years ago, and I'm, you know, I'm not recovered. I don't think I'll ever be fully recovered, but I'm definitely in a place where I can talk about it without crying. Mm-hmm. You know, even driving here, I still have a ton of PTSD. Just, you know, getting here, traveling, all of those things are very, like, what people's normal day is used to be my normal day, which isn't anymore. And I have to be so cognizant of everything that I do in terms of energy output because I only have so much in the course of a day. But this is why I kind of don't work in baseball anymore, to be honest. And it has nothing to do with baseball. It's just, I was in the Dominican Republic training baseball players when it happened. And I was hit by, we hit a cement truck head on at, like, in Canada it would be like 100 kilometers an hour. So 80 miles an hour. 70 miles an hour, and I broke my back, and then I found out afterwards that I had this brain injury and neck trauma, severe whiplash, which is really the pain that I'm still dealing with today. Like, my pain is 9 out of 10 every single day. So as I sit here and talk to you, like, I have shooting pain up in my neck, and so I've just learned to kind of deal with it, but it has totally changed how I coach. When I'm working with athletes who are injured, I have a different capacity for understanding. I have a different level of empathy. Mm-hmm. It's helped me change the program, like the breath work and the meditation and that mental piece of the program.
Yeah.
I've only talked about the physical part of yoga, but there's two other pillars that now are more important for me because that's how I got through my own rehab, was through meditation and a lot of breath work when the days I couldn't walk because my back was broken in 3 places. And I think that the most traumatic part of that accident was that it was in the Dominican Republic, which is a third world country. You know, the healthcare is not it's not North America. Yeah. And I was away from my son and I didn't know when or how I was going to get home because nobody would fly me on their plane because if I hit turbulence, I could become paralyzed. So there was all these risks I had to take just to get back to Canada to get into a hospital. Yeah. So, I mean, that act, I mean, but the blessing and the silver lining and all of it is that, well, by the grace of God, I'm alive. And I say this now to people and anybody working in my space, especially, it's about accountability and responsibility because I was strong going into that accident because of my work. I had this strong, like yoga is all about pelvic lumbar stabilization because that's your center. And so upon impact, intrinsically, I stabilized my spine. And the doctors were like, it's a miracle that you're not paralyzed. It's a miracle that you're walking. And so I know because of my strength that that is why I'm walking today and why I was able to rehab. And so now when I do these presentations, when I talk to people, especially people who are in performance or trainers, I'm like, take your job really seriously because what you're doing to prepare people mentally, physically, right, and emotionally to be strong in their bodies could save their life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think it's because I can't remember who you were telling the story to, and that's what
Ben,
you
maybe.
Referenced.
It might have been Ben's. Yeah. And it's an important part of the story because I'm just, you know, I think I get to tell my story because I'm here with you today.
Sure.
But when I look at people now, I'm like, you've got a story, you've got a story, you've got a story, you've got a story. And I know this. And so even though I don't get to talk to every single person, I hope podcasts like this, somebody will be listening and be like, I'll be like, get your ass to the gym. If you have two legs and two arms, you need to be accountable and responsible for this gift that we have. Like I get to work with high performing athletes who I'm like, dude, you make $25 million a year. Let me teach you how to stand on one foot. But then to the person who is just out there getting through life, it's just as important because shit's going to happen. It just is. It's life. Shit happens and we need to, it's prehab. You have to be prepared for adversity. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I.
Sorry to swear.
No. Oh my gosh. I say shit happens all the time. Okay. Asia. When, who
I'm
was it?
I'm trying
that?
Not to swear
who,
so bad.
Who was it? Was it my buddy Lamar Woodley?
Okay.
We were here and we're recording the podcast and I think there were 60 fudge bombs set in like an hour. Oh. So please.
Okay,
oh my gosh, we got this whole technology that bleeps everything out if we need to. But I'm glad you said that because I think now when I first thought of asking you, do you have a different perspective between really high impact sports where bodies are banging versus high impact sports where it's not that way?
Mm-hmm.
I think that context really is helpful for our listeners to understand what really got you like 10xing on this thing, right? Because that since the accident, it's almost like you came back a different human being with your obsession about delivering this value in the marketplace. Would you agree?
1,000%.
Okay.
And when I was talking, this is a couple years back after my accident, I went and met the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
And who's the GM there? Anyways, the GM of the Seahawks. They had me all ready to do a presentation in their boardroom. And I was like, oh, no, we need a gym and some mats.
Yeah.
and he came as the GM in his suit like you had on today and did yoga. And I was then able to say, hey, I get it. When your football players say to me, my body feels like it was in a car wreck, like after a football game.
That's
because
right.
That's what the football players used to say to me. And I would be like, I remember one player, this was in the Argos, Toronto. He's like, Jay, I can't do yoga today. I'm concussed. And I was like, suck it up, buttercup. I was like, I had no idea. And like, my concussion is still, and I'm now like, I am so sorry. I forget your name, whoever, if you're listening, I really am sorry. I think it was Matt Black. Anyway, so I just have a better understanding of impact sport now and what that feels like on the body. But to answer your question more specifically, non-impact athletes that I do work with, I find obviously the biomechanic piece and just getting them to move better in whatever sport they're doing. But then that mental piece, it just shifts, right? Like whether if you're an impact athlete, the mental resilience is different than if you're a golfer, right?
Yeah.
It's a different mental toughness.
Yeah. What would you say when you think about this 17-year journey and you look back, what would you say are one or two of the most meaningful moments or achievements you've had where, you know, it's not all over the news, right? But this was just really special for you.
Well, one just happened last week, actually, and it's just top of mind. So we made it to through the play-in with the Pelicans. Okay. And so we got to go to Vegas last week.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah, you were there?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, but that's awesome.
But I actually got my first official NBA credential. And that, it sounds so crazy, but I'm always the one on the outside. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, and
so
you're talking to an advisor who's not NFLPA approved. Okay. I'm like, I totally know what that feels like. Like, they don't, yeah.
Right? It's and so I got my first credential, which meant I could be like, you know, and I get a credential every time I'm at the game, but it's different than getting one that's from the NBA.
Yes.
You know, and it had my picture on it, and it was like, it was all laminated. I took a picture of it and I sent it to my
and you have it
family.
Still, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to frame that thing.
No, let's bronze it. I should
have brought it for you. Oh, my gosh. I would have totally put you up.
Yeah. Oh, I brought you something else. But so I sent that to my family, and I was like, it only took 17 years.
That's so sweet.
Right? So, a moment like that. And I would say another highlight, I think it was honestly with the Toronto Argos. We won a championship. And again, I was a consultant, so I'm never really a part of the team.
Well, you're a part of the team.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, the team looks at it that way. Yes. Yeah, don't scratch the humility.
But I was like sitting in the front row.
It's beautiful.
And literally the players came, because I didn't have a credential, and worked their way through the security guards, pulled me out of my chair, and brought me on the field to celebrate the championship with them.
Wow.
And that was huge for me, because I knew that I was a huge part of their success. They knew.
Yeah.
And they celebrated me. And you know, because everything we do in my work is so humble, and you never, you don't get many thank yous.
Yeah.
Because athletes are very much like, you get to work with me.
I've heard that a few times. What's something else that you think like the world doesn't know about you?
Oh.
We know that you have a wonderful son, Will. Mm-hmm. But what's something that the world doesn't know that you'd say, you know, if I wrote a book right now, this would be a chapter?
You know, and it's a really great question, because it just came up. So my family flew in, and my sister, I have two brothers and a sister. My sister and her husband flew in, and my mom and dad from Alberta. And we went for dinner. And I always do this thing when I'm with my family, and they love and hate me for it. But whether it's New Year's or somebody's birthday, and we're all together, I make everybody at the table say something nice or something they learned or something they admire about the person. So I put everybody on the spot all of the time at every family function, and purposely have no parties for myself ever to be able to receive that.
Yeah,
and so finally we're sitting at the dinner table. We went out for dinner, and my sister, I hear she's sitting across from me. She's like, so guys, she's like, how about everybody go around the table and say something you love about Jana, like mom, auntie, whoever. And I was like, oh no, here we go. And I had to sit and be in receiving mode.
Yeah.
And besides everything beautifully that my son and my dad and my mom and brother-in-law said, oh, my brother-in-law called me a legend, which was really cool. Yeah. but my sister, and I truly feel this, because there's a lot of things that I've had to get over. But she's like, you know, through all these years, she's like, I've seen you be bullied because of your looks and misgaged because of your looks. Mm. And she's like, and you've always just shone. She's like, you just shine your light on so many people. And so many people have tried to dim your light. And she's like, and you just keep shining. And she's like, it's taken so much resilience and so much strength to dig deep every single time when people are judging and making criticisms because of looks.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but I'm kind of at that point in my life where I'm like, if you're going to not take the time to get to know me, I would think I'm probably, you know, I'm very like kind. I'm very sensitive. Yeah. And the people who take the time to get to know me that. Yeah.
Well, I love that you said that. I love the family story, and good for your sister. What's her first name?
Tamara.
Tamara. Yeah. You are an awesome sister.
She's an amazing sister.
Yeah. Good for you for knowing to run that table like that. But I love that you shared that, because I think so often people will think that we are the personality they experience. And it's like, humans aren't a personality. A personality is kind of like a layer or an experience that we're delivering based on what we think the audience wants or needs from us, you know, because we're trying to add value and solve problems.
Right.
And so people always think I'm such an extrovert. Mm-hmm. And my children and Samantha would say, I mean, he doesn't talk once he's home.
Right.
Because I'm not.
Right.
I'm actually extremely introverted, right? So people experience this personality and they think, oh, this guy,
yeah,
he must love talking.
Right.
Right. And so I really, really appreciated you saying mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah.
You have to be a legend to work with high performance people mm-hmm. because they want bold, mm-hmm. courageous war generals
yeah.
to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, how would they follow, right?
Right.
So,
and then meanwhile, I'm in my hotel room crying and calling Janelle or my sister, or, you know what I mean? Because I've been knocked down so many times and been told so many times no
yeah.
in so many different ways.
Sure.
It's just like the resilience piece to then, you know, my brother-in-law saying the other day, like, you just didn't stop. And I was like, what yeah. else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, this is, I've been building this my entire life. Like, you know. Yeah.
Well, in it, yeah, I mean, it also makes me think of times I've listened to like Alex Hormozi speak, if you're familiar with his name, but you know, he's, I mean, just one of the most sensational minds I think of our time. And he talks about, well, if you want to make a really special income,
mm.
then you've got to deliver value to people
right.
with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not that that's a motivation for you, but what mm. I do, especially being in the financial space, I always tell people there's nothing wrong with you having a desire or drive
right.
for financial independence.
Right.
You know, shame on whoever told you.
Yeah.
It's not okay for you to aspire to want to create real generational yeah. wealth for your family. Right.
Yeah.
So I think as I think about you and I'm like, gosh, if I was like her teammate in yoga, of course we want to work with some of the most difficult humans in the world
right.
because yeah. they have resources to right. really help you spread the
yeah.
word
yeah.
in a way that I think a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so sports.
It's so true.
Yeah. I love the story. Do you think that there's any sort of misperception mm-hmm. of yoga?
Mm-hmm.
And what are one or two sort of like myths
yeah.
or misperceptions of it?
Well, a lot of people think it's just like yoga for athletes, which it's
yeah.
not. And a lot of people just think it's jogging and yoga, which it's not. Like it's, you know, I always say like this, and Janelle and I talk about this all the time, but I keep looking over at Janelle because Janelle has been my like ride or
Janelle's
die.
Janelle's in studio
like,
for the second or third time.
I know, but,
love the welcome back,
you know,
alumni.
But she, you know, she is also a woman in sport and like yeah. understands a lot of the adversities that I've had to overcome. And just even from a marketing branding perspective, she sat in on my certification. Like she is invested. Like she
yes.
knows so many pieces of me and yoga. So I look at her because I'm always, you know, this is what we do is we bounce each other, bounce ideas off each other. But I think there's just people think it's yoga because it sounds like yoga and they're yeah. like, oh, even, you know, some of the people I work with right now, they're like, hey guys, are you going to do the yoga today? I'm like, oh, no, you can't call it that. It's like 17 years of my work. You can't call it yoga, but I get it. So that's probably my biggest hurdle. And I've actually thought of changing the name, but then I can't because I've put so much brand equity into the name yoga already. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it creates a question. Oh, it's how is it different?
Yes.
And so you hope people will ask that question rather than just buck it into mm-hmm. the yoga. And again, I'm not saying for all the yoga people listening, I love yoga. I love mm-hmm. getting into my feels and doing all those things, but it's just, again, it's not conducive for our high performance. So that's probably the biggest misconception. And mm-hmm. also I will say that because I've been out there coaching this for almost 17 years, and the program of yoga has been trialed and tribute like on so many different athletes.
Yeah.
And then with my coaches, and I'm talking about high level coaches, like people like Javar, who are head of performances, have gone through my curriculum. So not only have I coach this to all these athletes, but my coaches have coached this to all these athletes.
Yeah.
And it's the same program. So we just keep getting more science and more collective data behind the program. So we have no competition. It is the best program out there in this space, 1,000%.
Say that one more time.
It is the best program out there, 1,000% in
yeah.
this space. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will, it literally, I tell everybody, like, come, we'll fix you. Well, it'll fix your body. It really will. And your mind and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like the human system. And a lot of people don't understand. So like if I get asked to work with a player, sometimes it's about efficacy and it's about result.
Yes.
When you're working with that level of athlete, you can't fake it. right?
Yeah,
when you're working in the MBA, you're not faking it. And so the program has to have efficacy. And sometimes I get 15 minutes with a player and I'm expected to make a result. Well, to get a result for XYZ, you have to know what you're doing. And so the Joga system is a system because it's understanding the human system. It's not just about the physical part. It's about, it starts specifically with breath work. Why? So big part of Joga is the why behind everything. Then we move into the central nervous system, then into the circulatory system, which then optimizes the musculoskeletal system, then into the endocrine system, then into the digestive system. If you do it the other way around, it's ass backwards. Nothing is working properly. So it's actually understanding the whole human ecosystem, stacking the systems of the body in a very specific way to get like that result in a very effective manner. And so that's what Joga is. And that's the science. And that's the 17 years. And that's all these amazing brains behind one product. That's why nobody can compete with Joga in my space, in the yoga space for athletes. Does that make sense?
We've got to rip that off as a commercial. And that's why it is the best.
No, but
I don't want to hear another word about it from anybody. And social media, stop it. Don't want to hear all these uninformed opinions.
Well, you know, and I'm also at that age where I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I've been playing small Manny for so many years.
We can't believe if you don't believe.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, we can't believe if you don't believe.
Right.
So yeah, you better press on and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
And I have to. It's my due diligence too, because this is saving, these athletes that I'm training, they're not injured.
I know.
It's saving the league. It's saving everybody money, and not even about the business side of it, but like, you know, who wants to go to a game and your favorite player's not playing, right? Like, let's keep them healthy.
I agree. All the ways. Coach Casey, we need to get her into the Pistons.
Oh, Casey. Oh, I know Casey.
Yeah, Coach was just here a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, our boys play basketball
today. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like from Toronto Raptors? Day. Casey?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we, yeah.
He is like my favorite human.
Just with him yesterday.
You have to tell me.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. I wish I would have known. We were our boys played. So Zach's on the 7th grade team and Atlas on the 8th grade team. So we always see each other.
So I worked with Casey with the Raptors.
Oh, Dwayne.
Yeah. He is honestly.
He sat there 3 weeks ago.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. You'll love it. So maybe we'll find a way to drop you back to back.
Yes.
I want to ask you about one more thing because I love this side of humans and it's the charitable side. Mm. I always think like for us to drink water from the well, somebody's got to be pouring water back in, right? Mm-hmm. And I love the abundant side of humanity.
Yes.
And so you just, I think, celebrated the second annual arthritis fireball.
Yes.
Is that right?
One of them, yeah.
And raised $400,000in the second one.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if people understand, but like when you start something new and you're just asking for money, I don't care how meaningful the cause is, everyone needs help.
Yeah.
And so to have the second one and raise nearly $500,000, what a success that was.
Yeah.
Why is the Arthritis Society in Canada so important to you?
Yeah. So my aunt actually, who she was diagnosed with arthritis when she was 12 years old. So my mom's sister. Mm-hmm. So she basically grew up like crippled her whole life. And so, and the reason that she is important for me in this cause is because all these years later, two knee replacements, two hips. She's also battled cancer. Mm-hmm. This woman, I've never heard her complain in her life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and she's been ill her whole life. And so that's one of the, you know, society. I support a lot of different ones in Toronto, like the philanthropy. Like it's a huge part of, if I go out, it is for an event something to raise meaningful money. Yeah, it's something meaningful, 1,000%. And, you know, I didn't understand this until I actually did the Housewives up in Toronto. And that's kind
of. Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I did see that too.
That one, that just opened up these opportunities, right? Because then you have to use your celebrity, I think, in an effective, like you have to leverage your celebrity.
Sure.
If you have that celebrity or you have an opportunity to reach lots of people or to raise money, I wish I could do more. And at one point, we will do more as an organization.
That's wonderful. Well, I can't tell you what a treat it was to have you here.
Thank you.
In Michigan. And again, a special thank you to our friend Janelle for helping us put it together. And folks, I'm telling you, Janelle is one of the top females in sports. So if you don't know, now you do. The CEO and founder of Joga World, like top speaker, like top performance coach to some of the highest performing athletes in the U.S. and the world, because we're going international. All right. So all your
all you footballers,
I hope you listen to today's episode. Jana, it was just an absolute delight to have you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time in your busy day. I know you got to go put that suit back on.
You know what? I do actually today have to put the suit back on, but it was special.
Yeah,
thank you
so much, thanks. Manny. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. And thanks to our guest today, Jana Webb. Contact Jana on Instagram at Joga Jana, JOGAJANA. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please be sure to follow, rate, and review At the Podium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow the show on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, @podium_podcast. Post about the show on social media, tag us, and we're always going to work to repost to share our gratitude. Your support means the world to me, to our team, and our podcast community. So if you enjoy our content, we'd love for you to hit that subscribe button to stay updated and become a part of our growing podcast family. As you know, subscribing is quick and easy, and it helps us to continue producing quality episodes for everyone. Also, consider telling a friend about the show. Friend to friend is still the best way to get the word out about our podcast. And as always, thank you. And we hope to see you next time.